Good morning. On Sunday the 27th of March 2022, our readings for today are from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21, and the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, and then continuing on from the second part of verse 11 to verse 32. And it's this passage in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15 that I want us to look at. And let me just read the beginning of the passage, beginning in verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, and that's where it stops in verse 3. And, you know, basically the Jesus is who it's talking about, because the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear Jesus, is what it's saying. And the religious people of the day complained because Jesus met with them, met with these undesirables. He didn't meet with the acceptable people, the recognized people, the so-called holy people. He met with people who basically needed God and needed to realize that there was a God who loved them. And that's who Jesus met with. You see, because God so loved the world that he gave, and God loves everybody. But it's only really people that are sad when you think about it, because it's only really people who are messed up who realize and can receive the love of God. Because the problem is, the people who have got everything together and got everything sorted out can, and not always, but can become arrogant, can become self-sufficient. I don't need forgiveness. What do I need? You know, I'm a good person. There's nothing wrong with me. And that at times can be the attitude that people can have. And so Jesus came to those who knew that they needed a saviour. So anyway, carrying on the second part of verse 11, it says this, and this is Jesus talking. Because remember, I ended in verse 3 where it says, Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a..." And, you know, once you see here prodigal living, you know it's to do with the prodigal son. And it actually is entitled in this section in my Bible, "The Parable of the Lost Son." But we've been brought up with this story about it being all about the prodigal son, and we can get caught up with the way that he went and he went and spent all his money, and he went and riotous living, and he just was overindulgent, because that's what it is to be a prodigal. It's someone who lives like that, who lives in that particular way, and that's exactly what this son did. But remember, it's a parable. It's a story. And the aspect of the story that I want to look at has got nothing to do with the son. I want us to look at the story from the perspective of the father. Now, I know at the same time that this is Mother and Sunday, or we celebrate Mother's Day. And I know the story's about a father, and could so easily look at this again about being the son and how mothers look after their sons. But I want to bring out in this the aspect about the father. So let me go back and see what it says in verse 12. "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." The father didn't stop the question. The father divided his livelihood between his two sons. And in a way, he gladly gave his son what he asked him. And that very much is the heart of the Father, and it's Father God. He wants to give. Remember, I said at the beginning, for God so loved the world that he gave. That is who God is, and that is what he wants to do for us, his children. He wants to give us. Well, we know that the Son went away and he got rid of everything and he ended up in a very bad place, actually in amongst living with the pigs and almost eating, and yes, eating what the pigs had. And he came to his senses and he came home. Home to his Father, home to be a slave, a servant of his Father. And he came back with that attitude. So in verse 17, let me read it, says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then verse 21 gives us the, you know, the son goes into saying what he had planned to say. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And the point for me is that the father was waiting, the father was expectant, because even when the son was far off, the father saw him. And that would only be the case for someone who was looking. And I want you to realize that God is looking for you. God is looking for people who will come to him. And we so often come with all our regrets, and you don't know what I've done, and oh, I am so sorry. That's our attitude. But God's attitude isn't like that. God very much sees us coming, and as soon as he saw the son coming, he ran to him and he fell on him and he kissed his neck. And the point is, the picture is that God just overwhelms him with love. Overwhelms him with love. Why? Because he is his son. You see, Jesus died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. And whenever we come and we believe in him, because remember, this started with two sons with the Father. We are with the Father. People talk about people being backslidden and falling away. And quite often the emphasis is put on, you must come and you must repent and you must and you must. But this picture is not coming from that at all. It's the Father is relieved and overjoyed that the Son has chosen to come home. And he doesn't ask the Son, what did you do? Where did you go? What have you done with all that I gave you? The Father, in a way, doesn't care, because he just is overjoyed with his Son returning. Verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. The best robe, the best clothes. And put a ring on his hand. A ring represented authority. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. You see, the servants, the slaves, didn't have sandals, didn't have shoes. They walked about barefoot. And so the father was saying, you're a son. You're my son. You've returned. Of course you wear sandals. Of course you wear the best clothes. Of course you have my authority. My authority, which means that whatever I say, people do, but whatever you say, people will do as well, because you're doing it in my name. And you see, this is truth. We talk about praying for people and talking about people in Jesus' name. It's exactly the same. And so the father brought these things, and then he said, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, because this is what he says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. In other words, my son had disappeared. He had gone away. but he's not dead anymore. He's alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. From the Father's perspective, he loves us. And as soon as you decide, as soon as you realize and you come to him, he just showers you with love, overflowing more and more abundantly. And I know as I've been saying this, I've been so excited because it is good news. It is good news. God is for you. He's not against you. God wants you to be with him. And no matter whether you walk away or come back again, when you come back again, he just overflows you with love because he's not looking at what you've done. Because at the end of the day, Jesus has taken it all away. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we are accepted in the Beloved. And the sooner we realize that, the more we will live out of who we are in Christ, rather than coming wringing our hands and being focused on what we've done. The Father didn't even ask the Son. Why? Because he is a Son. So I want to encourage you today as you read this parable and realize that God is for you and not against you. And he has good things for you always, always. Because not only does he love you, he is love. And that is why he loves you. He's not an angry God. He's a loving God. And he accepts you in the Beloved. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.